Hello, everyone, and welcome to June 17th, the MSP Dispatch. I'm here live from St. Louis, Missouri at a CompTIA event in a hotel room, but I have an amazing host today. Please introduce yourself. How the heck are you? It is great being on the show with you.
I'm doing great. We have some fun stories to share with people. And yeah, this is first time I've been on MSP Dispatch, so I'm a little excited.
This is going to be fun today. This is going to be great. Okay, so let's jump into our story. An article in Channel E2E talks about Apple growth and what it means to the MSP. IDC reporting that macOS devices now account for 23% of laptop devices in the office, up from 19% just 2 years ago. Mac laptop use in the enterprise climbed 63% during this time and representing the most significant reported device increase of any of its kind. Additionally, 53% of decision makers said requests for Apple's devices have increased in the past 2 years substantially. In the MSP world, managing these devices has become increasingly difficult, but with the advent of security concerns and Apple OS being just a hair more concerned, consistently secure, the increase of the Apple devices in the enterprise workspace and the SMB market is substantial. Tom, in regards to the overall IT atmosphere, with the increase in security concerns daily talked about in the MSP Dispatch, talked about in every single news broadcasting channel out there, is the Mac OS, let's say, involvement in the SMB world a benefit? Is that going to be a bigger concern? What are your thoughts on this?
I see the young companies, as I refer to them, using this because they don't care as much about on-prem applications. As a matter of fact, some of them have worked at other places where they've watched a few Windows updates go bad. And well, isn't that what all of us MSPs really wrestle with? The Microsoft beast, the Windows updates that roll forward, roll backwards, because, whoa, it broke a few different things. As you said, a little bit more secure, but having a really solid ecosystem, some really pretty hardware, combined with the fact that they grew up using an iPhone, the younger generation had it in their hand, they migrated right to it. So even when you're talking to it, and undoubtedly you met a few of these people, security startups and things like that, what do you see? A whole bunch of MacBooks all around them. And I think this is bleeding into just your general fancy startups that are building online companies with everything being single sign-on. It doesn't have to load a lot of local applications. We're just living in the browser. It becomes a simpler system for them to manage. And with Apple having offerings directly with their AppleCare and everything else and moving into kind of the management space, it can make a really compelling ecosystem for them and maybe save them some of the costs.
Well, let's talk about that for a moment. In the world of costs, the costs are attributed to a tool. The tools are typically geared for the Microsoft world.
Yep.
Is there going to be an additional cost MSP? Is the benefit of that cost going to be significant enough? Is the juice worth the squeeze?
It might be, because you really have it differently, because we have the ongoing costs, because Windows computers are so commoditized and cheap, they're not expensive. Mac makes an expensive, really nice piece of hardware, so you pay it up front, but then you kind of get all that Apple Care with it, and you don't really need as much of the AV and all the different detection tools, because, well, they're hard to even find ones that all work on some of the Mac stuff. So I think there's and it becomes harder from a tooling standpoint. And I don't think a lot of MSPs, there's niche MSPs that focus on that, but a lot of the MSPs just say, no, that's just not our wheelhouse. We don't do that. So yeah, I don't know. It's probably kind of looking that way if they don't need any local applications and are running everything just all with a whole series of cloud and web apps.
That's my question. My question is, do the MSPs in today's market have the tools that are needed for that new massive double-digit increase in Macintoshes in the environment that they are supporting? Do you think those tools are available? Do you think new tools are going to evolve that are very specific to the Macs? They're going to be in a heterogeneous world that are going to support both the Mac and the Windows environment in the same way? Or do you think maybe those tools have always existed and there just haven't been enough Macs to address or exploit those particular functions and features?
I think a lot of the tooling companies are really hesitant because they're worried of, do we make something or will Apple just supersede us and do it all directly? There's a lot of talk about these companies, you know, going direct line to the customer. So I think there's a lot of worry before they make the tooling too good, because Mac and Apple are so tightly integrated that Apple could just do it better and bypass the MSPs. So I don't know enough about the Macs. We just avoid them and refer them somewhere else if they have them. So it's not my field of expertise, but I'm going to get that impression from talking to people in the industry.
That is funny. So I think we all have the same concerns, and I'm really interested to see how this plays out. There's an eventuality that's happening with the Apple, we'll call it presence in their companies. Yeah. I really like the way you phrase that. And I don't think we can avoid this. I think Windows has been such a dominant presence with all the tools readily available to manage. But now there's a whole new opportunity. Don't forget that, everyone. Pretty important. Yes. Tom, I hear there's something happening out. Tell us about it.
Ransomware gangs set up a site so employees can search for their stolen data. Is this the future? They just start targeting people individually? Ransomware gangs create a site just for your employee searches. This is really convenient, but it also is, well, a long time coming. This is, it reminds me a few years ago when there was a psychology company in Finland that was breached, and they took all the notes that people had, and these are very personal, people's personal tragedies, and put them all through it again by contacting these individuals to essentially extort them. Obviously, that takes a lot of work on the ransomware gangs and the threat actors to contact each person they find. But hey, why not make a search and you can just find out if you're in there? Is that the future we're going for here? It's a scary world. And it puts a lot of pressure, again, and responsibility on people writing software and making sure it's secure, because it's where's the liability. Because if I find my data that I put in somewhere has now been dumped into a search database and I'm the one being extorted, obviously I can tell the threat actors, please don't release it. But they're trying to then again put pressure on the people that, well, lost the data in the first place to get the hush money from them. This is innovation in this market space, right?
So just to be clear, Tom, what you're saying is that individuals stole data. They took this data that wasn't theirs. It belonged to individuals personally. They then put it in a mechanism that allows it to be easily searched and retrieved if they pay for it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, easily search, retrieve, then it can be used against you to extort you, or you should be contacting the company that leaked the data and saying, hey, please pay these threat actors or they will release this information that they have on me. So it's a database to bring you the individual whose data is compromised and let you know what's out there and then let you know what you can do about it by contacting the company. Please pay the threat actors. So now you have a group of people. And of course, you think about this from a liability standpoint. Now you have users in a large group, which of course large groups of users, and pressuring a company means we're probably going to threaten them with legal action. Like, hey, this information that I trusted in your platform is now available based on reports from these threat actors. You better do something about it. Even if do something means paying extortion money, because I don't want my documents, data that I put into your service to be dumped online. Because that's kind of the threat. They'll dump my data online, a threat actor threatening me based on the breach that they pulled it. It's a complicated extortion game for sure.
How is that going to be handled? Insurance, cybersecurity insurance. Is it addressing the, you understand the question. Is it addressing a company that was breached? Is it handled by personal insurance that the ownership of the data? Is there a share between the two? I mean,
from a legal standpoint, it's going to be really interesting new case precedent set, because we have the liability of, you know, did they properly secure something? That's going to be, it's probably going to get drawn out in civil court, because I'm suing because you lost my data and it caused me personal damage by you doing this. But what will the insurance companies cover becomes a little bit fuzzier, because then they have to examine how much liability will they cover on their part for this and, you know, what harm was done. So it's actually going to be probably more a series of civil lawsuits going back and forth. Probably not as good as the Johnny Depp trial, but definitely a lot of information is going to come out on this.
So all I see right now, being a car accident where somebody hits someone else and there's blame passed back and forth, and it goes to the insurance companies and they're saying, well, this person did this. And in the meantime, I'm saying, hey, listen, I just need a car. Let's fix this. I don't want my stuff out there. There's a major problem that isn't being addressed. I don't care who pays for what. Just get it resolved. And I don't see anything in the future for that end resolve that's required. This is terrifying. And of course, this is a new version of capitalism, because they are in fact capitalizing on data and the want and need for said data to not be public. But this is a horrible situation, and I just don't see a good outcome coming from this.
No, and the key takeaways, if you look back at the incident, it was a very sad story. The end result put that company out of business in that Finnish incident where the psychology company got all their data dumped. This should be just part of the roadmap when you're looking at building any type of software, is what is your ultimate liability holding onto this data? Is it data that you should probably be encrypting better so it can't be, you know, taken away at any point? It's probably different ways. If you look at the way the password manager companies have built their business models of encrypting the data and only managing encrypted blobs, it gives them less opportunity to look at things like our passwords, but it gives them a really better protection that if someone hacked one of these password managers, they wouldn't do it. What if they turn that around? There are methodologies now. You could build databases where you can still have all the data. You can still manage it on behalf of the user, but you can be blind to it. Most of the reasons that they're not blind to it is because they want to monetize the owning of that data in some way. Frequently, this is, you know, surveillance capitalism is the business model some of them started with. But if that data all becomes out there and you didn't expect it to be, now you have this big legal mess. So I think it's going to influence people who are really thinking about ways to solve the problem differently and being more proactive about how they write secure code from the beginning, auditing things, and really taking these things into consideration. Because once you see a company that's been devastated by it, you're like, I don't think that should where all of our seed money for our product should go is in civil defense.
Yeah, security is not a bolt. And addressing security, certain things are stolen. Let's jump into the next story. Passwords can be taken, text can be taken, new malware is out, and it's taking everything. There's new malware out for Android that bypasses MFA, multi-factor authentication. Talked about in ZDNet.com, the new Android malware bypasses MFA to steal your passwords and have access to everything. Cybersecurity research uncovered Mailbot, a powerful new malware that was discovered. It is a phishing technique, and it has the ability to not only steal your passwords, but it's also your bank accounts, cryptocurrency wallets, and your text messages as well. It also bypasses multi-factor authentication applications that are stored on the phone itself. The malware has been detailed by cybersecurity research F5 Labs, who dubbed it Mailbot. In addition to remotely stealing these passwords and bank details, it has the ability to do screen captures, web browser cookies, and all of your text messages. The Mailbot is distributed by sending a phishing message to the user's phone via SMS, which they now call smishing, which we'll get to Tom in just a moment.
I love it.
smishing. Attacking the victims to bring them to a fraudulent website and imposing this particular malware that is just a simple click. Tom, before we get to smishing, my concern is this: the evolution, from the genesis of the first malware, the first script kiddie that we remember way back when. This is now on a mobile device, and it's not just Android, it's iOS as well. These are becoming more and more invasive. They are now taking your entire text string from way back when, your bank records, your cryptocurrency, which goes back to all the personal information we just talked about in the previous story about being exploited with personal information. I am absolutely terrified by this because it's one click and it's an avalanche of problems. Give me your thoughts on this. What's your position?
This is why the RSA conference talks so much about better authentication methods, passkeys being part of their new implementation, which is a better way to do this. But the big cart before the horse problem, how are we going to get all these websites to do it? There's already been FIDO2 available for a while and things like that, and we still haven't seen mass adoption. Even companies like PayPal took forever to get rid of SMS as a backup. And it's PayPal. It's a financial institution, and it's a pretty legit one. It's used in business, and we couldn't get them to move away from, I mean, they had the RSA football infamously, but still, getting away from these authentication methods that are constantly being exploited. You look at any of the blockchain exploits with these crypto companies, so many times it started with a bunch of SMS. Dark Knight Diaries just did a couple different episodes covering how people do simjacking, how they do all these different SMS attacks. And we just have to get to better authentication methods, because that's a lot of what this is leveraging, is that type of authentication. If you dig a little deeper into how passkeys is working, because it's doing challenge response, PKI, public key infrastructure type, where you challenge and respond as opposed to send me those four digits off of this text, these really simple things, it's going to make it harder for these people to exploit it this way. It's going to require, which is unfortunate, the things like the NSO group that get deeper into the phones, which they're still in the news a lot for their software being abused. But it is the only way we're going to get around this was when the authentication has changed at these companies to use something a little better. It's going to make the bar a lot higher for the people to get in there, as opposed to just sending us a little smishing attack.
Smishing. So, and I'm just going to ask as a personal editorial, what would you have called this? Would it be smishing?
I like it. I read that word today and it made me smile. So I don't know yet. I'm undecided. It's too early to tell.
So just so everyone's aware, phishing, as in the email attack where you click on malware, is phishing with a PH.
Yes.
As opposed to smishing is via SMS. Smishing. Marketing may work on that one, but it is cute. So I think one of the real questions that I have for you, Tom, is do you believe that we have a systemic problem at the authentication level that is almost an add-on at a later time? Or is this, hey, we need to do a complete revamp of the framework. This is a absolute requirement from the very, very base foundation of the application of the operating system that is going to require far more challenge responses, far more of the, what you have, what you know, scenarios that authenticate a user for every single transaction. Do you think it's that systemic that there has to be a wide change, or do you think there's going to be an application or an extension, for lack of a better term, that will address all of that?
It's really systemic, and we have the knowledge how to do it. It was well discussed, as I said, like the passkey. It's still not the full perfect solution, but it brings us a lot further ahead of where we need to be. There's companies working on it. It's the adoption that all of these other companies need to have to integrate it. That's the real hard one. But at least Apple and Google, love or hate them, they seem to be adopting some of these, and where those people go and all the handsets they have control over, which is most of the market, the other companies will, whether they want to or not, have to follow into offering authentication methods that are very compatible and simple with them and also offer a level of security. So I think we're getting there, but not today.
Not today. Not today. But what is today? Great stories, and we even have some notable mentions. In our notable mentions, Google places an engineer who claimed the chat AI bot has a mind of its own on leave, as stated in Axios.com. Quote, I am a priest when Lambda, the chatbot, claimed to have a soul and then was able to eloquently explain what it meant by that. I was inclined to give it the benefit of the doubt. Who am I to tell God where he can't put or he can and can't put souls? This is on his Twitter. Go check it out. It's entertaining. It is a notable mention, but it brings up a lot of questions.
It does. There's so much here.
I am speechless. Let's talk about community events. What community events do we have? Today at 5 p.m. Eastern, we have 38 at 38, a great new podcast here at the MSP Media Network featuring Callan Sapien. On June 20th to 23rd, we have Connect IT Global in Las Vegas event. On June 20th, Margaritas in Minneapolis, presented by Eureka Process. On the 21st, we have IT Expo in Fort Lauderdale. And June 21st, the MSP Dispatch, presented by yours truly and the MSP Media Network. So for today, I think that's a wrap. Tom, I cannot be happier to have you here. Thank you so much for your time and your insight. Any last words for us?
We will know when the chatbot is sentient, when the government decides to tax it. It owes taxes and everything else. That's when we'll know it's real. That's when we can verify it. It's not just some guy on Twitter posting randomly. So it's my final thoughts on all this.
I think that is it. Everyone out there, thank you so much for your time. Please hit us up on all the social media. We're out there. We're everywhere. Give us some feedback. Give us questions. And we'd love your argument on the chatbot AI. Should they be taxed? I think that's the next question. Again, here from the MSP Media Network. Thank you so much, everyone. Take care. Be safe.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.